things COVID.
Thank you for joining us on All Things COVID. This is a podcast that attempts to acquaint healthcare professionals with all that they need to know at a time when information, well, is coming at us left, right and center at a very rapid pace. And our effort here through these podcasts is to make sure that you don't miss a single thing. We've been catching up with experts from different fields. And today we have someone who is a senior endocrinologist with Apollo Hospitals in Chennai. She's especially passionate about type 1 diabetes therapy, and she's part of a few bodies that have made it their business to disseminate information on this specific condition. Dr. Usha, yes, that's her name. Dr. Usha Iyengari is here with us. She's also quite passionate about creating awareness around general health subjects. Thank you so much, Dr. Usha, for joining us on All Things COVID. Welcome to the show. How have you been?
Hello, Sheetal. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. And it is an honor to join you today. Yes, I, as you said, have a special interest in type 1 diabetes and I'm involved with several groups. I am doing my best, especially during this especially strenuous and stressful time for all of us, to try and disseminate as much information as we can about type 1 diabetes so that both healthcare professionals and people living with type 1 diabetes have access to the information that they need and are able to lead productive and healthy, safe lives at present.
Right.
So, pleasure to join you.
Wonderful to have you, especially because we are going to be wiser by the end of this this conversation, Dr. Usha, with you, which is essentially about the interaction or the correlation between COVID-19 and diabetes. Of course, we've heard plenty about it. The layperson has also, been acquainted with diabetes as one of the comorbidities associated with COVID-19. So if you were to explain the interaction between COVID-19 and diabetes to us, how would you do it?
Thank you, Sheetal. So we know that individuals with diabetes in general have a higher risk of infections. And for example, during winter flu season or pneumonia season, we know that they're 2 to 3 times more likely to have these conditions. So during winter flu season or pneumonia season, they are 2 to 3 times more likely to catch these illnesses.
Right.
People with poor blood sugar control, so for example, HbA1c is over 9, are especially more at risk.
Okay.
Now, current evidence, and since we are pretty young in terms of our knowledge about COVID, current evidence would suggest that individuals living with diabetes are not at a higher risk of contracting COVID, but diabetes is the third most common listed comorbidity with COVID. And if you have diabetes and you contract COVID, there is a 2 to 3-fold higher risk of adverse clinical outcomes with diabetes and COVID together. Of course, there are other things that travel with diabetes, including high blood pressure and body mass index. And all of these put an individual at a higher risk of mechanical ventilation and with worse outcomes with COVID.
Right.
And especially of concern for our Indian population is that where perhaps in the Caucasian population, this BMI threshold for obesity and mechanical ventilation kicks in at around 35. For our Indian population, there is a suggestion that this may start as low as 25 for an increase in disease severity for COVID.
Okay.
So diabetes and COVID, although, as I said, there is no indication that they're more likely to contract it. If they do, I'm afraid that it is harder to treat and it can be more serious and severe in these individuals.
Right. So I'm going to rephrase my question in a very, very direct manner. You have given us the answer already, Dr. Usha, but here I go one more time. Are people with type 1 diabetes more likely to catch COVID?
There isn't enough data at present to show whether they are more likely to catch it or not than the general population. However, the fact is that if they catch it, they're more likely to have complications. Now, there are a couple of reasons for this. One is that if you have poor blood glucose control, the virus may thrive in an environment of elevated blood glucose. And the second is that for people, especially with poorly controlled diabetes, there is a degree of immune compromise.
Okay.
And that may make it harder for the individual to fight the virus, and this can lead to longer recovery times.
Okay.
So although they're not likely to contract it, it is likely to be more serious. And the other thing we need to understand is that when we say individuals with diabetes type 1, it's not a homogeneous population.
Right.
We have to remember that they can vary in their age, they can vary in the duration they've had their diabetes, in the degree of control that they have, the complications they might have, you know, kidney related, heart related, and the associated health problems, as well as their general background control, can make it difficult to predict who's going to do well and who might not do so well when they contract COVID.
Now, here's where I ask you for some instructions, Dr. Rusha. What should people with diabetes know and do? And are there any special precautions that they must take to prevent COVID? So how does a healthcare professional engage with someone with these sort of questions?
Top of my list, vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. Hmm. I cannot stress this strongly enough. Okay. If given the chance for vaccination, please take your vaccination. Because the single most thing we have, apart from the measures that we've been taking throughout since we've learned about this pandemic, and I'll come to them in a minute, the single most important weapon we have now is vaccination.
Right.
Now, and this applies to everyone, but specifically coming to people with type 1 diabetes, good blood glucose control is the next thing you can do for yourself. Okay. Because the better the blood glucose control, as I've said previously, even if you should contract the virus, it gives you a better fighting chance of recovering from the virus and hopefully not lead to a serious illness.
Right.
The third thing is, as with everybody that we've been talking about, mask, distance, hand wash. This is extremely important, mm-hmm. not just for the individual with diabetes, but for everyone in the family and in their little micro environment that they're in. So right. if you're at work, people around you, if you're at home, your family, they should be even more rigorous in their social distancing, in their masking, in their hand washing practices, mm-hmm. so that you stay safe.
Right.
So whilst it's important for the individual with diabetes to be careful, mm-hmm. the precautions extend to everyone around them.
Yeah, I think that is sort of clear. So vaccinate, and of course, all the protocols that are applicable in the COVID context to regular people are even more important.
Absolutely.
In diabetic. Okay. Mm. Any precautions other than this that you'd like to call out before I move into my next question? Any other red flags that we should need to bear in mind?
So I think the other thing people need to be aware of is they need to also understand the symptoms mm-hmm. that they need to look out for. So yes, you need to keep good control of your blood sugar. Yes, you need to mask and distance. But I think the first thing you need to be aware of when you ask is when you should be asking for help.
Okay.
These symptoms can be very subtle, and having a high index of suspicion
right.
is what will help us identify it early on, and early intervention equals safer outcomes.
Safer outcomes. Understood. Now, this question has to do with diabetic. What if someone were to come to you as a healthcare professional and say, doctor, I have COVID. What should I do? How should I manage my insulin? How often perhaps even should I monitor my blood glucose levels? Is there a panic button my finger should be constantly pressed on? How would you address, assuage their concerns?
I think this is one of the most important points, Sheetal. And the reason this is important is, especially for type 1 diabetics, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you're vomiting, if you have diarrhea, if you're not eating, you need to stay on your insulin. Because yeah. quite often the misconception is that, okay, if I'm not eating, I don't need my insulin. Hmm. Now, especially for type 1 diabetics, this can be life-threatening. Hmm. If you are really unwell, you really need to be in a hospital. But if you are unwell and able to manage at home, and this is best guided by the doctor who knows you and your diabetes, then please never, ever, ever go off your insulin.
Okay.
How do I know how much insulin to give you? You said the word, you need to be monitoring your blood glucose levels. In fact, you may need to monitor your blood glucose levels even more frequently than you normally do. So for most type 1 diabetics, we say at least monitor before every meal so that you know how much insulin to give yourself.
Right.
But when you're unwell, you may need to monitor in between in order to take what most people call correction boluses. So if your sugars are going high between your meal times, you may need to have a little bit of extra insulin. Mm-hmm. So your basal insulin, which is the long-term, long overnight or daytime insulin that you take, must never be stopped. Okay. Your short-acting insulin, you may need extra boluses.
Okay.
Now, if you're one of those type 1 diabetics who has a ketone meter at home, we may also advise you to check your ketone readings. Mm-hmm. Because this will tell us if we need to admit you. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, please, even if you're able to, whether you're able to eat or not, please make sure that you're drinking enough water, because mm-hmm. dehydration can also precipitate other diabetic complications like DKA. Mm-hmm. And talk to your healthcare professional. Early contact will mean early medical attention. So okay. if you have any symptoms, please reach out for help. But also be aware of any warning signs. So you said, when do you press the panic button?
Right.
If you have a high temperature, mm-hmm. if you have difficulty breathing, if you are developing shortness of breath, if you have any chest discomfort, if you have any pressure or pain in the chest, if you are developing any confusion, if the person with diabetes is getting drowsy, if you notice anything about them that suggests distress to you, hmm. then please do not delay and do not hesitate. In fact, don't let it get to that stage.
Right.
But God forbid we get to that stage, then please reach out for help as a matter of emergency.
So you've described a few symptoms over here that one must watch out for, Dr. Usha, but I'm not seeing anything that is necessarily specific to diabetes. Is there anything at all that is very diabetic specific COVID symptom? Or no such thing?
COVID symptoms are the same as anyone without diabetes would get. Hmm. But the one thing a person living with diabetes will see in addition to this is blood sugars going out of control.
Okay.
They will be high. They may be low. You may see fluctuations that you find hard to control, which is why more frequent monitoring and more frequent contact with your healthcare professional will be essential. So you will have the general symptoms that most people without diabetes will experience. But in addition to that, there is the extra hurdle of the difficulty of maintaining good blood glucose control. And good blood glucose control is critical, because we now know, in fact, just this week, about last week, there was an article published in Nature that showed that potentially the virus thrives in a glucose-rich environment, and therefore the poorer your blood glucose control, the more difficult recovery will be and the more likely the risk of complications.
Mm.
So the one thing that a type 1 diabetic or any diabetic will face is this challenge of blood glucose control.
Right. While on the subject of glucose-rich environments, I must bung this question in, considering there's a lot of information flying around about mucormycosis and how that works. And is that something
Indeed.
Else? Is that something else that a diabetic needs to be really careful about?
So you're right. This is hot off the press.
Mm-hmm.
Mucormycosis is essentially a fungal infection.
Right.
And this fungus, again, thrives in conditions where you have poor diabetes control,
right.
especially when your immune system is compromised.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people with diabetes in general have a slightly compromised immune system,
right.
but when we are treating COVID, we use quite high doses of steroids,
right.
whether that comes in the form of dexamethasone, methylprednisolone, any of the steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And the steroids in combination with high blood glucose levels make this a fertile, rich environment for all sorts of other infections to thrive, including
right.
secondary bacterial infections, secondary pneumonias, but especially this mucormycosis, which adds a extra, and it can be extremely complicated to diagnose and extremely complicated to treat.
Okay.
In patients with mucormycosis, diagnosing mucormycosis can be quite difficult. It requires a high index of suspicion, and treating it will add an extra layer of complexity to managing the underlying COVID and diabetes.
Understood. In fact, perhaps we should do an entire different podcast on that subject. But right now, keeping with our theme of type 1 diabetes mellitus on this podcast of all things COVID, I'm going to ask you, is diabetic ketoacidosis something else that one needs to worry about?
Absolutely. Like I was saying, when we talked about what do type 1 diabetics need to do extra at home, dehydration, infection, going off insulin, all of these are huge risk factors for DKA. And DKA is diabetic ketoacidosis. decay is a risk factor for anyone with diabetes who gets sick because of any other cause, but it is also a special risk factor for people with COVID and type 1 diabetes. So you need to make sure that you keep up your fluid intake, that you don't get dehydrated, that you never stop your insulin. And as I said, if you have a ketone meter at home, please monitor your ketones. And if you don't have a ketone meter at home, if you're vomiting, if you have a high temperature, if you're unwell, get yourself to a hospital, because it's always easier to check and be safe than leave it too long for decay. Because once decay sets in, that is a huge other level of added complications that we really do not need to deal with, because it's absolutely preventable.
Right, right. Absolutely. Well, I hope our listeners have made a note of that point, because I'm about to move into something else altogether. This one's more got to do with how the management of perhaps COVID is also complicated on account of the behaviors that are required of a person, which might place them away from their family members and caregivers that they could normally take for granted. What if I need to quarantine or isolate? What are the precautions I should take if I am a type 1 DM?
I mean, quarantining and isolating can be a very stressful experience at the best of times for anyone.
Right.
The uncertainty of being alone with an illness that, I mean, the family, the individual with COVID, all are under an incredible stress. This stress adds, of course, to the complexity of blood sugar management, because as any type 1 diabetic knows, the slightest amount of stress and you really don't know which way your blood sugar levels will swing. But you're right, quite a lot of type 1 people living with type 1 have help from their family and caregivers in terms of injection, in terms of monitoring, in terms of provision of healthy food. And if you're quarantining and isolating, one, remember that quarantine is only a physical quarantine or isolation, right? You still have access to people and to companionship through phones, video calls. Stay in touch, stay supported.
Right.
The second thing, make sure that you have adequate supplies. The worst thing that can happen is to run out of monitoring strips in the middle of the night or insulin for your morning dose of insulin.
Right.
In fact, if we have time, just today morning, I had a call from a patient. Doctor, I'm supposed to take 40 units of insulin with my breakfast. My pen only has 20 units left in it.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, this is the worst kind of thing that you can do.
Yeah.
So just make sure you have enough supplies. I'd rather have that you have two extra pens that you can store as per appropriate storage instructions, for example, in the bottom shelf of the fridge,
right,
than that you run out of insulin when you need a correction bolus at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely.
Right. So make sure you have enough insulin, both kinds, your basal as well as your mealtime insulin. Make sure you have enough monitoring strips, both your blood glucose monitoring and your ketone monitoring strips. Make sure you have things to correct a hypo with. So either some glucose or some sugar or some honey or things that you would use around the house. Make sure you have enough snacks to hand, because again, as I said, sugars might go up, might go low. So these are the common things when we're in an everyday regular living environment, we don't give too much thought to these things, because we can always run into the kitchen and grab a spoonful of sugar or go to the fridge and grab an apple.
Right, right.
But that isolation and quarantine adds an extra layer of complexity to all of this.
Right.
So just think ahead and stock up on things that you're likely to need in your everyday life.
Right.
And don't leave it till 2 a.m. before you figure out that the last 20 units in your pen will not last through the night.
Absolutely. I think this is good guidance for our healthcare professionals, what in to offer to their patients or people under their care and their family members.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is really important. The next one that I wanted to check with you on is something that I intend dwelling on in a slight deeper fashion on another podcast, but I've got to ask you for the type 1 diabetes sufferers or people who have this condition, what are the specific lifestyle measures or exercises that they should follow? What's the regimen you recommend for them?
Indeed. Look, type 1 diabetes and exercise and lifestyle, most people living with it hear about it from us ad nauseum.
Correct.
In fact, they're such experts that for themselves, they can tell you more about it and how they react to food and exercise than any healthcare professional could.
Right.
But especially around the time of COVID, there are a few things that you can do to make life easier for yourselves and for those who are looking after you. And one thing would be to stick to regular meal times. Because we know that there is nothing worse than running late for a meal and then having a hypo.
Right.
So regular meal timings with regular injection timings will go a long way to combating some of these fluctuations in blood sugar levels.
Right.
Exercise, if you have active COVID, do what you can. Don't become entirely bedbound and sedentary. We understand as healthcare professionals that with all the symptoms, it would be extremely difficult to do strenuous exercise. But stay mobile, stay active, do whatever you can and keep moving around. Now, during recovery from COVID, no one, it's a long COVID, as the name has now been given to this post-COVID syndrome. The course is entirely unpredictable and very individual. So in terms of recovery, we have to tailor it to your symptoms and to your exercise capacity and to your energy level. So talk to your healthcare professional. The doctor is the best person who can be able to guide you. I have put in place formal rehab and physiotherapy programs for some of my patients. Some patients need breathing exercise, and we have equipment as well as exercises that we can teach our patients, for example, including a triflow meter to do deep breathing exercises or pranayama to do deep breathing exercises. So we can guide them towards rehab, both from a lung and a general physical rehab point of view. But it has to be individualized to each recovering individual.
Absolutely. So individualized programs to be created, and that much attention needs to be paid to every single or individual patient. That's the takeaway I'm getting over here. And plus, of course, as you rightly pointed out, these are not new topics. Lifestyle changes and exercise, the importance of these for diabetic patients themselves. So you wouldn't have to labor the point too much, hopefully, as a healthcare professional. But always important to make that point, especially on a podcast like this. Now, final question has to do with vaccination. Can a person with a T1DM take the COVID vaccine?
Can I say it shouldn't be can, but must. Must.
Yes.
Not just, I mean, I have to say, right, the best thing you can do for yourself is to get vaccinated. The best thing that we as healthcare professionals can do for our patients is to stress the importance and to facilitate it. Because it's not always that easy. We can say, go get vaccinated. But we know that sometimes just the logistics around vaccination does need to be, you know, we need to facilitate it. We need to make it easier for the people that we look after with type 1 diabetes. So I'll go that extra mile. Reach, I would say to the people living with type 1 diabetes listening to this podcast, reach out to us. We are here to help. At the end of the day, that's what we're here for. And I would say to my colleagues, let's all go that extra mile. Let's take that extra step, fight the cause. And for all these people with type 1 diabetes, let's make sure that they are prioritized for vaccinations along with the rest of the people living with chronic disease, chronic illnesses, that must be at the top of that vaccination list.
Absolutely. Loud and clear. We've taken that message away from you, Dr. Usha. I've got to ask you a completely unrelated question, but yes, related as well. How have you kept stress out of your own life? This must have been a very, very difficult year for you. Any mantra that you can share with us, we would be eternally grateful. Music, you know, dance, what have you taken to?
I have to say, just by being slightly mad, I'm not quite regimented. Look, right, if it gets on top of you, my mantra in life is, it will keep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. There are very few things that cannot wait for 10 minutes if it's getting on top of you.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Professionally, when I'm in the hospital, I switch off anything that is not related to what is in front of me, the task at hand.
Right.
But once I come home, I do what I enjoy. I have a garden. When I go up to the garden, I don't even take my phone with me.
Right.
My philosophy being, it'll keep for 10 minutes. I'm in the garden. I'm listening to the bird song. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's fine. So unplug, take your me time, and don't stress too much about being responsible and sane 24/7. Yes, we do it maybe 23.5/7. Yeah. But for that half an hour, enjoy your life, be your mad self, put all this behind you, and just this too shall pass. This too will pass.
Yeah.
So take that half an hour, get into something completely mad, dance, laugh. listen to a podcast.
Absolutely. And that is the note that I think I should wrap up this particular podcast on, Dr. Usha. Thank you so much. It's been very enlightening. And we hope to catch up with you on another one very soon.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, Sheetal. It's been an absolute honor. Thank you.
For more discussions and resources, visit tccmc.in.